We welcome you today to Living Waters Church in Casa Grande. That song tells the story of what we're here about. We worship and adore Him who is worthy to be praised. There is none who is so worthy as He. Nobody else. There's none even equal. We worship Him. We give Him all glory and honor and praise. Today is Father's Day, a very special day. For many men and for some, it is a sad day. I know that there are men who are fathers, but they do not have the opportunity to even see their children. So we're going to talk today about what is it that God wants in a father. And sometimes I think, Lord, I don't like to beat people up. I'm always telling what they need to do. But this is what the Lord spoke to my heart, so I'm going to share with you what He has put on my heart. The title of my message today is My Father's Footprints. My Father's Footprints. Let us just pray. Heavenly Father, You are the Father who is so faithful, and You are the one who is our example. I pray that You will minister to us today, that You will speak to our hearts. Let us understand what it means to truly follow You and to walk in Your footprints, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, David wrote, "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him." Those who honor Him, those who are obedient, He is like a father to His children. We sometimes hear a father, and maybe you have heard them say, a father who says to his son or a child, "Don't do what I do, just do what I say." I've heard it many times. Don't do what I do, just do what I say. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't have that same message for us. In John, the 13th chapter, verses 12 through 15, We read there where Jesus was there at the Last Supper with his disciples. His final message to them was, he said, when he washed their feet and when he partook and he broke bread with them, he said, if I, being your Lord and Master, if I have been the example, if I've done this, it is what you're to do. So he said, do exactly what I have done. And that is exactly what he wants fathers to be able to say to their children. Do exactly. He says, Jesus said in the 15th verse, he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Charles Spurgeon said, train up a child in the way he should go. We know the Bible says that. Proverbs says that. But Charles says, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. You go that way. Don't expect a child to do something that you do not do. We hear somebody, I was talking to someone the other day, and he said, well, you know, I was just flabbergasted. I have this child, this little two-year-old, that is so perfect, never says anything bad, and I was frustrated, and I said, I cannot find that stupid thing. It was not cursing, but it was not like Christ. And so later, this child, two-year-old, said, where is my stupid
dolly?
Yeah. And so he said, I will never use. So they walk in our footsteps. Fathers, you're the greatest example that they follow. A mother is important, but I believe a father has a greater impression upon a child than even a mother. So he said, be sure that you go that way yourself. And then Clarence Buddington Kelland said, my father didn't tell me how to live. He didn't tell me how to live. He just let me watch him do it. What a message. He didn't have to tell me what to do. He watched me do it. And I know that there are things that my sons have said, well, Dad did it this way. That's the way. And Joshua was telling me, he said, Dad came out and watched me when I was hanging doors, and he said, you're not doing that right, son. We always did it this way. Of course, Joshua said, Dad, that's before you had this particular equipment. Now we do it this way. Well, there's a way sometimes that seems right that isn't right. But in that case, my husband says, oh, okay, I guess that does make it a little easier. But we watch him do it. And Dwight L. Moody said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he's a Christian. Live in a way that everybody knows he's a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. There are some parents that you have seen or I have seen that have a different mannerism when they're in the congregation at church. They put on that particularly holy expression or whatever it is. But at home, their children see something different. God says this ought not to be. He said, you train your child in the way he should go, and he'll not depart from it. He'll remember it. But now how do you train him? By your example, by your life, is the greatest training that you can possibly give to your children. It's natural for a little boy to walk in his dad's shoes, to use his dad's expressions and his mannerisms, and to talk just like his dad talks. He even tries to make his voice sound like his dad. I've seen it, and you've seen it so many times. And it's a compliment if your life is pleasing to God. But if it is not, it's a slap in the face. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 21 through 24, Paul admonishes us to walk in the moral character of God. He says, when you were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now, that old self will corrupt us. The deceitful desires will overtake us. But he says, we need to be made in the new attitude of our minds. We need to be formed in God's image and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's a little bit about what the song that Jerry and Nina were singing this morning. I want to do those things that represent my Father. Do you know that the only Father in heaven, the only picture or the only way you can let Him be seen is through you? You are the one who says this is what Jesus is like. And if you use language or you behave in such a manner, especially we're talking to fathers today, and I said I don't like to always be saying do this, but that's what the Word of God does. And if you read the Word of God and it does not prick you and you say, wow, I've missed the mark, I'm going to, God help me, Holy Spirit work in my life, something's wrong, because it always ministers to us and tells us. And Paul continues in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. He said, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We make sacrifices for those we love. We are always willing to step aside and prefer somebody else. Jesus did. He made a sacrifice for us. His love was so great. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to visit our cousin, my cousin, and my mother's brother and his children. And they only had 4 children, and we had 13 children in our family. So they had a lot more toys and things to play with than we did. We would go there, and their youngest son would, and if he's watching this, he better not be mad at me. But their youngest son, he had a new bicycle. Well, he wasn't about to share the new bicycle. He gave you the clunker one. But God says, I gave my very best. I gave my best for you. Of course, he was a kid. I'm not throwing stones at him. But we need to understand that God did not give us what he did not love. He gave us what was precious, and we need to let him be the example for our lives. Fathers, it is so important that you walk in his footsteps. You'll be a father that God wants you to be if you follow in his footsteps. There are children today who have no earthly dad to imitate. It's sad. But there are children that say, I don't have a father. I don't know who my father is. Is it any wonder that they are confused about their identity? They've never had anything to show them. How do I act? What do I do? It's so important that a father demonstrates moral integrity, moral righteousness before his children. He needs to put aside all filthy language, dirty jokes. Sometimes I hear it even in what's considered the Christian sector, where there's just a little bit of an off-color joke. It is not pleasing to God. God does not smile upon it. There's nothing humorous about it, and it's training that our children do not need. They need to know the true Word of God and the moral character that God wants them to have. And there are some. Also, I hate to even mention it, but it is something that we need to be aware of as fathers. I say we. Fathers need to be aware of, and that is they need to be very careful about the way that they conduct themselves in front of their children. You don't walk naked in front of your children. I'm sorry, but I have heard teenage girls say, my dad just walks across the room naked in front. You know, it is a disgrace, and it's dishonoring to God. And it is not like God. He wants you to have the moral character of God, of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That means what you say should build somebody up. Even the words that you speak to your children should not berate them and say, I don't know what you don't have any qualities. You're no good. I remember my husband said that his stepdad used to say to him, he said, boy, you better learn how to read because you ain't good for nothing else. We need to be careful about the things that we say because it makes an impression on that child. an impression that is, he perhaps said it one time. I don't know, but it made an impression on my husband that impacted him for life. But we need to be careful about what we say. A father's influence on his daughter is no less important than the influence on his son. In fact, perhaps it's even more important that a father has integrity and discretion for his daughter. The manner in which a father treats his daughter establishes her identity. Is she precious or just common? Is her body to be the temple of God, or does she consider it of little value? There are that one illustration, a man that does not keep his nakedness private, he's saying something to his daughter that is not godly. And so a father must protect. My husband used to tell a little story about a man that had a daughter. He said, she's got to be the ugliest thing that ever was. And I know she's not worth much. This is a true story. And they lived in another country years ago. He said, if I can get two cows or one cow out of her, trade her for a cow, I'll be lucky. But he said, she's so ugly, and she doesn't have talents. She doesn't have this and that. Do you know? And so he berated her, but there was a young man in another country that came over, and he was looking for a wife that would be faithful, a wife that would be diligent. And he saw her, and he went to the man, and he said, you know what? I'll give you 8 cows for that girl. He said, you've got to be out of your mind. Have you seen her? Can you believe that a father? But we have fathers who berate their daughters and give them nicknames that make them feel like that they're unattractive or that they're not talented, that they're not gifted. We need to be careful. We need to build their esteem, because what you say about them is what they become. And so the man said, well, I struck it rich, and he sold her. And a few years later, the woman came back to that country, and the people in the city, the town, said, what in the world happened? She's not the woman that left here. She is a woman with such grace and such, charm and beauty. What was the difference? He treated her differently. She had value. It is so important, and the words of a father are so important for a little girl to know, my daddy loves me. I can do anything. I'm gifted. I'm talented. Whatever I want to do. And it is so important. And so I am appalled by the number of girls who've been violated by their fathers. It is beyond my understanding, but I hear it quite often. And we've counseled with girls, and their life is a shamble, a mess. And this is, I listened to this story with an iffy smile. She said, maybe my life would have been different if I'd had a different father, said this girl. And her life would have probably been drastically different if she'd had a father who loved her and gave her the security every child desperately needs. Instead, she had a dad who came into her room at night and did things to her that to this day she does not understand. He took so much away from her. I've heard this story over and over again. And I say, how, God, could any father do something like that to his daughter? But we know it happens. But God is not pleased with that. In Colossians, the third chapter, verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. If you have desires that are carnal and that are ungodly, put it to death. Kill it. The role, and he goes on to say, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put it aside. Get rid of it. Don't allow it to grow up in your life. The first 5 years of life are incredibly crucial to a child's life. The role of a father is the most significant in a child's future. I believe it is more significant than that of a mother. It is important. But a father is the strength and the power that she looks up to and he looks up to. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6, it says, start off children on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they'll not turn from it. The impact a father has on a daughter is one of the greatest she will ever have in her life. It can guide her to be secure in who she is, confident and ready to face the world, or it can leave her uncertain and vulnerable to the definitions other men and culture will place on her. They'll define her and they'll say, well, there goes a, based on how she's been told who she is. It starts with her father and how he treated her. I'm confident in the redemption, the healing, and the love found in Jesus. But I just want fathers to understand the impact that they have on their children. What are your children seeing in you? I ask every father. The world is selling young people many different philosophies today. But the father who is living a life that reflects the character of Jesus can impact his children for righteousness. It can combat all those philosophies, those things that will tear down, and they begin to believe his righteous life will change that. Proverbs the 22nd chapter, verse 28, it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. There have been many fathers, our forefathers, who have set up landmarks, and they've said, righteousness is the only way. And he says, don't remove them. Follow after them. Theodore Herzberg said the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. To love their mother. The most important thing. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 25 through 29 talks about it. It says, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. And my husband used to talk about how Jesus calls a man to die and to take the blame even for the wrong attitudes that his wife may have, and so that she can follow, so that it can be an influence on her life. The Bible tells a man that he is to love his wife. But he tells a woman she's to honor her husband. It isn't difficult to honor a man and to look up to him and say, wow, it comes when you're loved. And so he has a great responsibility there. He said that Jesus died for us, that he, like a man would die for his wife. He said that we should be holy and without blemish. And he said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. As their own bodies, that he that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. There are men that seem to have an attitude that my wife owes me servanthood, and that's about it. She's supposed to, that's what I got her for, is to take care of me. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 6 through 9, we read, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, this is pretty deep here. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. We hear this at a marriage ceremony, at a wedding ceremony. And sometimes we don't take it as deeply, I think, as what it means, what it really is saying. It says, let a man leave. That doesn't mean that he forsakes his father and mother. It means now that you are one flesh with your wife. And now she is the one that you're one flesh with. And he says, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. I have seen couples separated by a mother-in-law, by a child. And I will say one thing for my husband. When his family, when his mother would, she came to our house and to spend a month or so, I went in the kitchen and I couldn't find something, and I said, well, what in the world? She says, well, I changed it around because that's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous to have this over here. It's not convenient. And so she had redone the kitchen. And I didn't get mad at her. I thought, oh, I can't believe this. And my husband said, Mom, Do you understand that this kitchen belongs to my wife? Not you? Well, she said that, and he said, Mom. And we need to understand that a man is to protect his wife. That is the other part of him. And a child, the same way. I have seen children come in, and they come against their mom or their dad through the companion, especially a dad. And Mom didn't do this right, or she, whatever. And the dad will say, okay, honey, Mom, you need to let her go. We need to be careful. The Bible says, what God has joined together, let not man separate. A man and his wife are one flesh, and he needs to stand for that. Don't let children or parents separate them. Discipline and correction is proof of a father's love. We see sometimes that people fail to do that. They say, I love this child so much. I saw an individual here in the church one time. This boy was probably 12 years old or so, and he said, give me your phone, Mom. Give me your phone. And she says, no, you can't use it in church. You can't. And he said, give me your phone. She says, okay. That does not mean that I love that child. That means that I have failed to teach that child the things that he needs to know or she needs to know when they go out in the world. We don't get everything handed to us. We will pay a price that is not the consequences we want if we think it's owed to us. So discipline and correction is proof of a father's love. And I've told you before that I went to California one time to live with a family. And the first thing that this family told me, the leader in the home, the husband in the home, he said, and I was 18 years old, went there for some schooling that I needed to take some summer courses. And the father said, I want you to understand something. I know you came from a very strict background. Your dad was tough on you. And he said, I'm not going to be that way. We're not going to require anything of you. He said, you stay out as late as you want. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did not feel loved. I did not feel protected. It is for the safety and the protection of a child when you give them structure. That is security, and we need to do that. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 6 says, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The Lord disciplines. I have seen sometimes people who are not the parent of a child try to correct and to discipline. In fact, we were in a situation one time. My husband was very irritated because this child that we knew, but it was not our child, was misbehaving, and he was being very rude. And my husband says, boy, straight, and I kind of poked him, and I said, he's not your responsibility. It is not, but when you are the father, you have a responsibility, absolutely, to bring correction and discipline to that child's life. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. When we're children, we receive the discipline and the correction. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? I remember that my son came in one time, or my husband came home, and I said, so-and-so, he's probably watching this too, so-and-so was sassy to me today. And I was crying. I was hurt because he had talked back to me. And my husband said, what do you mean? And he said, son, and he called him in, and he said, did you sass your mother? He said, yes, sir. You sassed your mother? You talked back? Yes, sir. He said, well, you may be 15 years old, but he says, I'm going to take care of it. He said, if you think you're big enough to talk to your mother like that, you're big enough to take what I'm going to hand out. And he took his belt off, and he said, you just lean over this bed. He said, I'm going to give you what you deserve. He said, okay. And he bent over, and my husband tended to him, And I felt terrible. I was crying. I didn't. But you see, he loved him. He loved him. He said, "You." And the greatest gift that a man can give to his children is the gift of showing respect to the mother. To show, one of the greatest gifts is show them that you respect and honor your mother. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 4, says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." There are sometimes men who are fathers that provoke their children to anger, and they cause despondency, and they do things to them that they should not do. I remember when we were young, living in the married students' dorm in Cleveland, Tennessee, going to school, my husband and I were, and there was down the hall, I heard this little boy, he would all the time was crying. He was not in school yet, so 4 years old or whatever. And I saw this man would take him, and he'd throw him up real high, and the kid would just scream, and he'd slap him, and he'd say, "You know, shut up. I'm not going to hurt you, you know." And he was provoking him to anger, and then they'd wind up, and he would whip him until his nose bled. And I said, "What in the world is wrong?" I'm sure I don't know the outcome, but I'm sure that that young man did not understand what love was all about. And that man, that's not discipline. That is provoking a child to wrath, to the point of despair. And we cannot do that. Fathers, do not do that, but bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. In 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 14 and 15, God spoke of David, and he said, "I will be a father to him, and he'll be a son to me. When he does wrong, I'll discipline him, but I'll never remove my gracious love from him." We discipline, but we love with the discipline. And not every father, I'm going to go on and say, not every father is one who has been the sperm donor. Just because that is your biological child does not make you a father. Fatherhood requires more than the biological connection. Fathers who assume the responsibility of fatherhood because of love and obedience to God's word are genuinely the greatest fathers. Remember Joseph, who surrendered to God's will and became the earthly father of Jesus. This was a man that said, "I will do what God says," and he took her and married her, even though she was pregnant and God told him to, and he did not have sex with her until after the child was born. He restrained himself. That was because he had the love of a father, God's love. What great trust God shows to a man who obeys the call to fatherhood. It's one of the greatest callings in all the world. I saw the story, perhaps some of you have seen the story of Christopher Duffley. As a result of drugs, he was born with all kinds of problems. And he was autistic, he was blind, he was a child that looked like he was destined for failure. And the child was born to the brother's sister, this man's sister. And he got to thinking about it, and he said, "You know, I need to find out where the child is. I don't even know where he," and they found out he was in foster care. Anyway, they got him from the foster care system, and they told their story. They said, "We were afraid, and we said, 'God, what in the world can we do with a child who is totally blind, who is autistic? We don't know what to do. He can do, but they took him because of love. That's love that reaches beyond just the natural. It is a love that God can bring. And the long story short, if you want to watch it sometime on YouTube, if you look it up, it is amazing. The young man, one day they heard him making noise and they could he sang and his pitch was perfect. And so they started teaching him. They taught him the word of God. And they taught him to sing. And he sang, and I saw him on YouTube. His pitch is beautiful, and he sings. He's blind, and, of course, he moves all around and everything. But he sings perfectly and beautifully and quotes the scripture because God has a purpose for every life. And a father never has the right to say, "This child is no good. This child has no ability. God says, I have created this child for a purpose. And sometimes the things that we look at and say they're terrible, God uses them for his glory. And so that is something that is so wonderful. And Abraham, when he chose Abraham, when God chose Abraham, the reason he chose him was because he said in Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 19, he said, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring up Abraham, that which he's spoken of him. He said, I can trust him. God wants a man he can trust, a man who will follow righteousness. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, Joshua was also a man that you know that he said, now, consider this, and he told the people, consider these idols and the ways of the heathen, and he said, and now consider your God, and he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you need to consider that. Go the way you want to go, but we, and he didn't speak just for himself. You notice he didn't say, I'm going to serve the Lord. He said, my household, we will serve the Lord. We have a responsibility, fathers. You have a responsibility to direct your children and to bring your household under the commands of God. God's desire for every father is that he will teach his children and his household to honor the way of the Lord. Just doing things with your children, sometimes fathers think that they're good fathers if they take them to the ball games and if they do activities with them, it isn't enough. It's not the same. I think about my father, and he was a very stern man, not very tender. But thank God he taught me the way of the Lord. Amen. I'll put up with that sternness. At the time, it was difficult. It's better to have a father who's harsh in discipline than to have a father who never corrects and does not teach his children the way of righteousness. I read the story of Glenn Ford, and he said, I got so busy with activities, and you know, he was in Hollywood, and he said, I once knew the Lord, but he said, I got so busy I didn't have time for him anymore. Then he realized that is what was happening to his family and to his children. And he said, something's got to change. And he said, I had to make a change. We do. If we get too busy, we could gradually get cold and indifferent. And God says it's not the way it can be. It has to be. Our children will suffer if we do not have that connection and that righteousness from God. And Billy Graham quoted, he said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Our nation will not do well without fathers who love the Lord and teach their children. Perhaps you need God's help to make you the father, you, if you're watching. You may say, well, Naomi, I've failed in many of these areas that you've mentioned. I've been a failure, and I wanted to do the things that were right, but somehow I gave way to the world. I haven't taught my children. I'm going to tell you that God is faithful. He says that he will forgive us and he will help us and he'll draw us, bring us on the right track. If first of all, we must admit and recognize that we have failed. If we say, oh, I haven't done anything wrong, then there's no hope for us. God wants to make us you, the fathers that he wants you to be. He wants to make you the father that is the example before your children. He can turn things around if you just give it to him. If you'd like to make that commitment today, this morning or this afternoon, whatever time it is that you're watching this, the Lord is there. He says, whoever comes to me and recognizes me as the Lord of his life, that I am the Christ, Jesus said, and that I rose from the dead to forgive, that I am, and he has eternal life if you surrender to him and say, I am a sinner. And so I would like for you to pray with me this prayer today, and God wants to make you the father that you desire to be and that He wants you to be. Heavenly Father, I ask you to touch every father that has watched this broadcast today. Every father, oh God, who needs strength from you, that needs encouragement from you, I ask you, oh Lord, to just make a way. Reveal yourself to them and help them be the fathers that they should be. I know there are some fathers that have not stayed with their children and they're estranged from them. But I pray, oh God, that you will bind together that love that needs to be there and that you will do a work in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you will forgive us of our sins and let us be redeemed by the blood of Jesus, which is the only way that we can be redeemed. I thank you, Lord. It's not by our works, but it is by your work at Calvary. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for watching a broadcast today, Living Waters Church. We enjoy being with you each Sunday morning. May the Lord bless you. Now, my daughter, Ramona, was not here today, and she wanted me to share something with you. She thought I was going to share it in my message, but I just couldn't get it in there. She wrote something, and it was not. But I'm going to read it very quickly to you. And she said, every Father's Day, I've honored my father by saying something in his honor. And today I would like to honor him by saying something to honor an even greater father, the one who is the Lord. My father was a father that taught me to always stand up and do what was right just because it was right. He honored the Lord because he is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of emotions, popularity, or substance, at the end of the day, it was really only about pleasing the Father, she said. Doing what's right because we have a Heavenly Father who is righteous. My dad was in the military for a time, so he wasn't always soft-spoken. He knew what it was to be a soldier, to be tough when he needed to be. He always said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But he never knew a stranger and spoke kindly with wisdom. Many of you who knew my father knew he was often lighthearted and could be even silly at times, telling funny dad jokes, which always lightened the mood. Now that my dad isn't here anymore, I think about how he taught us to look to our Heavenly Father. Make no mistake, my father was not a perfect man. I started to leave that out. But my Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus, who was without sin, came to do what was righteous. Not for his own enjoyment or comfort, but he came to do his Father's will. The right thing because it was right. Jesus is the ultimate example. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. He went willingly to the cross, knowing what he must do. He did it because it was his Father's will. The Bible directs us to take up our cross and follow him. Now more than ever, it is the time to do what is right because it is right. To be righteous because God is righteous. Now is the time to pray without ceasing. Fathers, help us take up our cross and follow Jesus. We must help one another. Ephesians 6:14, she closes saying, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Ramona Bailey. I know that I've infringed just a little bit more on your time, but she wasn't here. She had to be with her husband and his father. But I am so, so thankful for the fathers that have been a testimony of God's grace and of God's forgiveness and of God's love. How much we need, the song that Colleen sings sometimes that says, we need wisdom, we need power, we need true love for each other. We've had a lot of empty words from people, but we truly need the Holy Spirit to give us what we have need of. Is there anyone, I see that some are not here today, is there anyone here today before we leave that would like us to pray for you? We do pray for you. If you have a need and you want to put it in the prayer box, you don't have to leave your name if it's personal, but they pray every Monday, Tuesday, now Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And and they even do, there you go, Joshua, you get on their podcast, you can even show yourself and pray with them. But we're praying for you, and they are praying for you. So I want you to be encouraged. Go with God, and I don't like to always say negative things, but I encourage you. I want to instruct people. Live a life that is godly. The Word of God tells us that's the only way that we can live and be blessed by God. Amen. Let's just stand together and